Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians this morning, chapter number 3. While you're finding that place, I do want to remind you, ask God to help you to demonstrate your love somehow. Declare your love and demonstrate your love in these next few days to your family and the church family and the folk in the community in some way. Let them know that you love them. And phone calls, cards, personal visits, little acts of kindness, anything you can do like that. And so I hope that you'll be sure to do those things and be involved in that. I want to remind you that March is our missions month, that we started off the end of February. Brother David Watkins is going to be doing a missions conference for us the last Saturday night of March. And then on Sunday, he'll be with us for both services. He left me a video he wanted me to review that he's going to use some of that on Saturday night. We'll do everything in the fellowship hall that night, the Lord willing. And it's going to be just a great time. Challenge our Sunday school classes and any individuals or groups that like to look at the mission board and check with Miss Cindy. She'll help you. I'd like to do some displays with our missionary families. I want you to try to contact them, get some information or personal information from them about their family, about the kids, and anything they'd like to share with you. And do some displays, just the trifold boards or whatever. We put them on tables around in the hallways, fellowship hall, just so we can all get a visual picture of those who are serving the Lord, that you're part of their lives with your prayers and your mission giving. And so hope that you'll look forward to that in March, greater missions, and not only praying and not only giving, but being involved in missions through the month of March. And this is Love Month. I preached last Sunday on the greatest love of all, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And I thought I'd go on to something else, but I'm going to tell you, it just really is in my heart again, and God spoke to my heart this week a special way about something, and I hope it'll be a blessing to your heart. Ephesians in chapter number 3, if you will, please. I want to begin reading with verse 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. The Apostle Paul, because of his faithfulness to the gospel, has suffered a lot of things. If you study the life of Paul, you remember reading the Bible, he was beaten on several occasions and left for dead, stoned, left for dead, and he was imprisoned and everything else. And he's assuring the church at Ephesus, now don't worry about these things I've gone through. Don't you worry about that. Don't be disheartened and don't be discouraged about all that I've gone through on your behalf. He said, it's your glory, and it's God working, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to do it. Kind of read between the lines, but that's what he's saying. Verse 14, and for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. You and I are a triune being. When we get saved by the grace of God, we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Now, quite often, people talk about the soul and the spirit being one. There is a difference. They can refer to them as the same, but the body, of course, is this physical part of us. That soul part of you, that's you. That's who you are. It's your personality, your emotions, your thought process. That's you. You live inside of that body. And then the spirit of man, that's what died when Adam sinned. Bible said, God said, let us make man in our image. And He created man a triune being, just like He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Man was created with a body and a soul and a spirit. God breathed into his breath the breath of life. He became a living soul. But when Adam sinned, he said, when you eat the forbidden fruit, you'll die. And Adam ate that fruit. And of course, he didn't die immediately physically, but he died spiritually. He was alienated from God. He'd had a communion with God, a walk with God, a fellowship with God, but he became fearful of God, if you remember. And when he heard the voice of God, where he used to rejoice in that and walk with God in the coolness of the day, when he heard the voice of God, he ran and hid himself because he was fearful of God, because his spirit had died spiritually. But when he got saved, or when you get saved, that spirit's quickened. It's made alive. You have communion with God. You have fellowship with God. You love Him. You love things about Him. And so he's praying for them to be strengthened in the inner man. He wants them to be strong spiritually as believers. And you and I are to grow in the Lord, and we grow spiritually. Now, he's going to give us a formula for spiritual growth. We ought to read the Word of God. We need to saturate our soul with the Word of God. We need to pray. But one thing that causes me and you to be more faithful to Christ than anything else is when we can understand how much He loved us. John said, we love Him because He first loved us. And Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us. When you understand how much God loves you and you comprehend how much He really loves you, that is the greatest motivation for our faithfulness to the house of God. So why do we come to church on Sunday night? Why do we come to church on Wednesday night? Because Mom and Daddy makes us? Because it's a ritual routine? No, because we comprehend how much He loved us. And we love to be at the house of God. We love to be around the people of God. We love to be there. And the more you understand and comprehend the love of God, the more you'll love Him, the more faithful you'll be to Him, the more you'll want to share with others that love of Christ, the more that love will be demonstrated in your life and in disposition, every part of your life. And to understand that. Now, some people have, even in fundamental Bible circles, have kind of played down the love of God. They almost sound like that you talk all about the love of God, and they kind of discredit the love of God. And what foolishness is that? That God so loved the world, and God is love. God is a God of justice and judgment, but He's a God of love. And if we can comprehend that, it will strengthen us in the inner man. Let me read on. I'll show you what I'm talking about. And He said this to them. He said, verse 16 again, and that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. You see what life issues out of. That the flow from the root is what makes the tree. It gives stability to the tree, and it gives growth to the tree. And then it produces fruit. And we're rooted and grounded in the love of God. It causes us to grow. It causes us to be fruitful. And that's what His prayers. He's praying that they'll be rooted and grounded in that love. Watch verse 18. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. That is of God's love. And that you may know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. If you don't really have a comprehension of how much God loves you, the breadth, height, length, and depth, if you don't understand that, and I'm telling you something, it is an inexhaustible truth. How much does He love you? Somebody said that He loves us this much when He stretched His hand out on the cross. That's just the beginning of our comprehension of that. He loved us far more than that. He loved us before the foundation of the world. I can't imagine that, can you? He loves us with an everlasting, an unchanging love. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves us like that. And it's an ongoing process to learn and be grounded in that love of God. But He said that He wants us to comprehend it, wants us to have some understanding of it, that we might know the love of Christ. That why? So that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. If you understand that love, then you understand God and you'll be filled with the presence and the fullness of God. Now unto Him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. He said in verse 20 that love of Christ in us, it helps us to understand how much He loves us and that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask according to the power that worketh in us. You see, God demonstrates His power by working through those who comprehend His love and understand how much He loved us. And we love the lost sinners like He loved them, and we love the church like He loved it. Now, will you bow with me just briefly for prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, God, thank You for the wonderful singing. Lord, thank You for touching Brother Bobby this morning. And we echo the song, thank You, Lord, for touching my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. And Lord, thank You for the wonderful singing of the congregation, the choir. Oh, Lord, what an awesome song this morning. God, we thank You for that. And I pray, God, for the anointing and power, God, now. I pray, God, that You'd speak to Your people, to our friends in the media audits, in the internet, and in the radio. And I pray, God, here in the building, that, God, we could, with all the saints, comprehend something of the love of God, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You say, Brother Billy, how much does he love us? He loves us, number one. He loved us enough to call us. He loved us enough to call us. In the book of Acts, it talks about people being saved. And it says this, that even as many as he would call. You see, yesterday morning in the prayer breakfast, Brother Barry was talking about the love of Christ and how that it's demonstrated and how that he spoke to our hearts and he called us. You're dead in trespasses and sin, just like Lazarus was in that tomb. And Lazarus is a perfect illustration of the call of God to an unregenerated or a lost man. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. And God, the Holy Spirit, called you by name. Many of you in this building, you in church service after church service after church service, and you heard the preacher, but you didn't hear God. And you heard the singing, but you didn't hear God. But somewhere along the line, there was that time when you heard something you'd not heard before. You heard the sweet Holy Ghost of God as he spoke to your heart, and he called you by name. He called you to salvation, as many as he said he called. Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 10 said this. He's the good shepherd. And he said, I call my sheep by name. Remember Zacchaeus up that tree? When the Lord came by, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. He knew him and he called him by name. Salvation is a result of a divine call of the Holy Spirit of God. He's calling us to salvation, calling us to Christ. And my dear friend, if you've not heard that call, you've not been saved. If he's not drawn you by his grace, if he's not called you and you didn't respond in faith, you've never been saved. But thank God, I'm glad he called me. I'm glad he called me. I'm glad he came to where I was and he called you. And my dear friend, if you're saved this morning, you think about that. Of all the billions of people in the world, think about all the things that God is in control of. All the animals and everything else, the rising of the sun, the tides and everything else, all this vast universe, and that he individually, personally, called you by name, and he spoke to you about your condition, and he called you to the Savior through the Holy Spirit of God. I'm glad he not only called me, I'm glad he loved me so much he would call me, but I'm glad he would love me so much he would convict me. You see, the only people that get saved is sinners. Jesus said, I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners. He said, they that are whole have no need of the physician. So I'm glad he came to call the sick folks, spiritually sick. And I'm glad he came to point out and to diagnose our case. And nobody ever gets saved unless they're lost. And religious people are not lost. Good people are not lost. That is in their mind. The Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he loved me so much, he convicted me of my sin. He showed me my Satan, a sin that I was alienated from God. And so many people say, well, I'm as good as the preacher, I'm as good as the deacon. But when the Holy Ghost of God convicts you personally of your sin, you're not even conscious of anybody else in the room. You don't care anything about anybody else at that particular moment. You understand that you've offended a holy God and that you stand in imminent judgment, and that at any moment you could plunge into hell for all eternity and be separated from him. And if he never dealt with you like that, if he never showed you you were lost, you would have never cried out to him. That wonderful song that John Newton wrote says, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. It's the love of God that taught us that we are sinners and alienated from God and that we need to be saved. I've shared the story with you before of D.O. Moody, I believe it was, when he was preaching in a great tent revival one time, hundreds of people getting saved, thousands of people getting saved. And this very refined lady had been in the services. And at one point in time in the week, she came down and she had on all her finery and just dressed, everything was just perfect. And she said, Mr. Moody, I would like to become a Christian. And he said, fine, let's bow down here. And they knelt and he prayed and said, God, please have mercy on this wicked, vile sinner. God, save her from all of her wickedness. And she stopped his prayer. And she said, Mr. Moody, that's not me. That's not me. He said, ma'am, return to your seat. And when that becomes you, you can be saved. Only when you know that you're sinners. Jesus died to save sinners. And I'm glad he showed me. He knocked out all the props. He let me understand it's not good works. It's not church membership. It's not baptism. It's not being a good boy or good girl. It's not being a good humanitarian or a benevolent person. That we're all lost. And he dealt with me according to that. I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, loved me so much that he would convict me. But I'm glad he loved me so much he would cleanse me. Having recognized that I was a sinner, and when he loved me enough to show me I was a sinner, and when I responded in faith and said, God, I'm wicked. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to go to hell. And God, I'm wicked. I'm glad that he loved me enough to cleanse me. Oh, listen. He said, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Everything you've ever done by faith when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he washes them all away. Oh, it's easy for me to say that. It's easy for you to say that. But we didn't sin necessarily against one another. We sinned against him. We sinned against the one who loved us before the foundation of the world. Every time we used his name in profanity, every time we mocked the things of God, every time we trampled underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of that was a result of our sin. And he loved us so much that in spite of all we'd done to dishonor him and discredit him and defile his name, in spite of all the rejection and not acknowledging his gifts to us. I mean, we lived our lives like we were in charge of everything. We never acknowledged his gifts of life and breath, of goodness and blessings in our life. Even the rain that came from heaven. And Brother Barry read that verse the other day, that we didn't acknowledge any of that. And yet all we had to do when he loved us so much to convict us of our sin was to ask him to forgive us and to cleanse us. And just like that, he did it. All the things we'd done for a lifetime, in an instant, he forgave immediately and cleansed us from all sin. Amen. Thank God for that, that he cleansed me from that sin for eternity, forever and forever. I'm thankful for that. He loved us enough not only to convict us, not only to cleanse us, but I'm glad he loved me enough to care for me. In John chapter 10, he says, the hireling fleeth because he careth not for the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ cares for his sheep. Thank you, Charles. He cares for his sheep. He said, cast all your cares on me. I care for you. I'm glad he loves us so much he cares for us. You know, I'm glad that when I got saved, he didn't say, all right, I've forgiven all your sin. Now you do the best you can with this thing. No. The Bible said he came inside me. He came to live inside of me. He came to care for me. He came to live with me and to be close to me. And to guide me in the truth and to keep me and to be with me forever. I'm glad he cares for us. I'm glad that he loves us enough. Listen, you think about it. And this one day when this kind of little truth broke on my heart. God's God. He's omniscient. He knows everything. But the Lord said that when you pray, you don't use vain repetition because he knoweth what things you have need of before you ever ask him. And I thought, wow, that's great. That God knows what things I have need of before I ever ask him. And now I was reading later in the book of Hebrews where it says, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and died for me, he ever lives to make intercession for me. And you know what? I just saw it this way in my mind. That everything I've ever needed, before I ever knew I had a need, Jesus has already told the Father that I need this today on Sunday. I'd need this on Monday. And he's already made my needs known to the Father. And before I ever ask him, Jesus loved me so much, he ever lives to make intercession for me. He's already letting the Father know the things you know that you need before you ever know you have a need. He's already made provision. That's why Paul would write and said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm glad he loved me enough to care for me. He's got everything you need, everything I need. And if you trust Christ, he's got everything you'll ever need. He loved me enough to care for me, loved me enough to cleanse me. I'm glad he loved me enough to chasten me. The Bible said that he chastens every son he receives. Chastening is not judgment. It is discipline. It is child training. And when you, as a child of God, disobey the Lord, He chastens you. And if you joined a church and you got baptized and you can go on and you commit sin and it doesn't bother you, you're just not saved. That's all there is to it. Because when the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, when you disobey God in any area, He'll chasten you. He'll sometime do it through the grieving of the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. Sometime He'll chasten you, discipline you through circumstance. Sometimes it may be through the rebuke of a brother or sister in the Lord. But He'll chasten you. He'll deal with you. Yeah, what kind of parent would you be if you set some guidelines for your children and you didn't keep those? You know and I know that when you tell children don't do certain things, it's for their own good. You don't go here, you don't go there, you don't do this, you don't drink that, you don't eat that. That's for your own good. And when they disobey, we discipline them because we know that when they transgress our rules and all, that we've made those rules for their own benefit. And God's the same way. When you don't obey Him, He chastens you and He'll deal with you. He loved me enough to do that. Amen. He loved me enough to chasten me every time I failed Him, every time I disobeyed Him, every time I've sinned against Him. Immediately He begins to chasten me. So many different ways, I won't go into all of them, but I'm glad He loved me enough to chasten me. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Not only does He love me enough to chasten me, but He loves me enough to comfort me. Excuse me. Job said, in this world, man's days are few and full of trouble. You're going to have some problems. You're going to have some difficulties. You're going to have some hard times. But the Lord Jesus Christ loved you so much that He's going to comfort you. Whenever I meet with families, I just about always say that the Lord prayed for us. And when He talked to His disciples, He said this, I'm going to die, but you don't worry about that. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He's going to be our comforter. He said the Holy Spirit of God will be our comforter. Charles, you come over here. If I make you sick, it'd be all right. The word comforter means parakletos. It means one who comes alongside, one who's there to comfort you, to help you. And He comes with us, and wherever He goes, I go. And the better way is for wherever I go, He goes, that He'd follow me. But He said, He's just that close to you. You understand that? He's the parakletos. Thank you, Charles. He said, I'm glad He loved me so much. He said this, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Ms. Gwen is back there. A few weeks ago when I met with her family in the back, Ms. Gwen, I've made that walk with her when JB passed away. And we were trying to decide how we were going to do it, how we were going to line up. And Ms. Gwen, we went back to the back, and I got ready to pray, and I said, Ms. Gwen, I said, you want me to walk with you? And she said, yeah, if you want to. And I said, well, I'd be honored. And so I got up beside her, and we prayed, and we start, and then her son come. And I said, you want to just walk with Mama, and I'll go in front and have everybody stand. And so he did. And you remember, if you were here, I came in the back door, and I said, everybody stand. And then I came on down. And he walked down the aisle with his mama. That's a hard walk for a mama when she's here to do a funeral service for her daughter. But he was right there with her. And he said, I love you so much. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am the comforter. And the Holy Spirit is the paracletus. He's the one who comes alongside, not occasionally, but forever and for always. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've been pastoring almost 50 years. I've seen couples separate I didn't think would ever separate. I've seen people just throw away love. I thought they'd never throw away love. Things happen in human life. Believe what he said? Old Brother Kanoy used to say it just like this, is what I could understand it. He said, you can't leave somebody who won't leave you. I failed him, but he's never failed me. He's never left me. He loved me so much, he'll comfort me, hold me up, take me through. Even when I'm weak and I can't go myself, He's there to comfort us. He loved me so much, loved you so much. He comforts us. He loved us so much, He carries us. He carries us. You say, Brother Billy, what are you talking about? I'm talking about He carries us. The Bible, the Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. The Lord Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive into myself that where I am, there you may be also. Most of you know I've quoted that 1,000 times right here in the last several years. Because when our little girl Christy died, we had all kind of Christian friends to come over and comfort us, and preachers and folk came by. And it's all helpful. It is helpful. But on the day that we were, or maybe the day before we were bury Christy, I got up early and I got my Bible. And it just came open to John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I'll receive it myself. Now, angels are real. Please don't misunderstand me. Angels are real. I don't preach much about angels. I don't talk a whole lot about angels, but angels are real. The Bible warns you about angel worship. You shouldn't worship angels. We don't worship angels. But they are real. They're ministering spirits to minister to us. And do angels accompany the saints of God at their death? I do believe that. But if I understood what I just quoted you in John 14, He didn't say the angels are going to receive you. He said, I'm going to receive you. I got to look at that word receive. You know what it means? It means to take into possession and care, to hold or to carry. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And one of these days, I'm going to come back and I'm going to carry you to that place. Hey, I'm glad for the angels. But I'm glad that everybody He loved, everybody He died for, everybody that He's prepared a place for, He said, I'll come. I'll receive you into myself. That where I am, you might be also. He'll carry us. He'll carry us. When I was going through this, and it was speaking my heart, blessing me, Brother Rickett, I couldn't help but remember. I think it was a Wednesday night when Ricky came in and he had a song, and he and Paula loved one another. They were soulmates, how close they were. And all of you know how the Lord, it went. And I've just watched Ricky and prayed for him, and he has a touch of God on him. But he said, I want to share with you a song that I believe explains what happened to Paula. If you've not heard it, wow, you want to hear it. And I might get it wrong, Brother Ricky, I don't know. But basically, the gist of the song is this. That He loved her so much, it just took her breath away. And when the saint of God leaves this world, He just loves us enough that it takes our breath away, and He carries us into that place of eternal abode for the saints of God. He loved me. I'm telling you, it's real. It's not imaginary. It's not just, you know, sentimentality. It's real. He loves us. Will you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed. He loves us enough to carry us from this world to the place He's prepared for us. He loves us enough to comfort us. He'll never, ever leave us or forsake us, no matter what you go through in this life. And you will go through some. He said in this world you will have tribulation. You're going to have it. We're in this world, and you're going to suffer in it like other people do in a lot of different ways. But thank God He won't ever leave you or forsake you. I'm glad He loved me enough. He chastened me, and He'll chasten you. He doesn't let me get away with things. He'll discipline me. I'm glad He loved me enough to care for me, to meet all of my needs. I'm glad He loved me enough that when I called on Him, He cleansed me of all of my sin. All that came about because he convicted me of my sin, made me understand I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. And then the sweet Holy Ghost of God called me. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said. And then I didn't go to the scripture and share it with you, but in John chapter 10, he said, other sheep I have. And he said, I will call them. That's me and you. He'll call us. And he called us. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost this morning. Thank you for the great attentiveness of God's people. But God, I pray more than anything else, they've heard the voice of God speak to them. That they comprehend just a little bit of the love of God, the height, the breadth, the depth, the width. Oh, it takes the Holy Ghost just to even begin to comprehend how much you loved us. Lord, how could I ever say no to somebody who loved me that much? How could I ever say, no, I won't go? No, I won't be faithful to the house of God. No, I won't give. No, I won't live. How could I do that? If I understood how much you love me, oh God, I pray you'd help us. We love you because you first loved us. And the more we know how much you loved us, the more we'll love you. God, I pray you'd help us with all the saints to comprehend what is the height, the breadth, the depth, the width, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all understanding. God, I pray now you'd speak to hearts, men and women, boys and girls. Lord, I believe that whenever there's an impression, there has to be an expression. And God, you spoke to hearts. There's some, our Father, who might need just get around this altar and say, Lord, thank you for loving me so much. There might be some who want to come and say, Lord, forgive me. I understand a little bit how much you love me. God, I've not been very faithful to you. God, help me to love you more. Help me to love people more. Help me love the things of God more. And Lord, there may be a man or woman, a born girl in here who've never experienced the love of Christ. They've never responded or never heard the call of the Holy Spirit of God to salvation. God, I pray, Father, that Lord, you speak to their heart. Call them by your grace. Save them for Jesus' sake. God, I pray if they hear your voice today, that you do what you said in the Bible, that Lord, that when they hear your voice, they harden not their heart, but they'd respond. Now, Lord, I pray you'd minister to them. Help them to respond by faith. And God, we'll thank you. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to stand, please, will you? Will you please stand? Amen. And while we're standing, I'm going to ask Brother Gary Mayberry, would you come? Brother Barry, will you come down here to the front? And Brother Gary, if you'll come right here towards the front. Brother Tim, if you'll come on this side. These three men are standing here. And I just, this morning, if you need something or God spoke, if you're not saved, Brother Barry, Brother Gary, Brother Tim, they'd be more than glad to share with you. If you feel like you just want to come get around this altar, I want you to come right now. Holy Ghost, God, speak your heart. Brother Brad's going to sing. We'll not give a very long invitation. I invite you to come right now. Will you come?